Can we say hallelujah again that Jesus is coming back? What a wonderful blessing and assurance that is to know that He is coming back to rescue us from this world. And as we talked about this morning, Jesus has every intention to shower us with love. He has a great desire to have a relationship with us as His children. As we mentioned this morning, as a child of God, as a new creation in Christ, we are never alone. We go back to Matthew 28, verse 20. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus continues to fulfill that promise, that He's never going to forsake us? He's never going to leave us. The opposite's really true, isn't it? That He's went way beyond what any man could ask of Him in seeking out that relationship. I go back to Psalm 14 and verse 2. God is seeking those who will seek Him. He's looking for them. This morning He continues to search out the hearts of men to find out who are seeking Him. As we close out our thoughts about John chapter 1 and in a comparison with Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, a book of beginnings, a book of creation. John chapter 1 is a book of beginnings. It's a book of creation. It is the beginning of a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture that is painted by John, how God left heaven above to walk in human flesh, to suffer, to deal with all the angst and desires and pains that we do. To know what it's like to be hungry. To know what it's like to be heartbroken. To know what it's like to suffer. All because He desires so much to be with us. To make us something new. And then thirdly, from John chapter 1, we see how Jesus came not only to make us new, not only to be with us, but to show us how to share the heart of God with others. To share that love, that story of love, that ministry of love, that sacrifice of love that He gave for us. When you go back to the book of Genesis, and we again think about God's creation of human beings. And we know in verses 26 and 27, there Moses tells us that God, that the plural form of God, Elohim, created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, forming that close personal relationship, a relationship that God didn't have with the birds of the air, or with any animal living on this earth. He had that relationship only with Adam and Eve. And then in verse 28, He goes on to tell them, verse 28 says, He blessed them, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Excuse me. Losing my voice here. But God gives this command to mankind to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it. See, man wasn't made for the earth. The earth and all that's in it was made for man. And so God gives Adam and Eve a command to be fruitful, to multiply and subdue the earth. Now think about that command. The command was that mankind would spread across this great planet that God had created. Isn't it kind of similar to what you read about in Matthew 28? If we go back there in our minds just for a second. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Right? And then he turns to them in verse 19. He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Do you see the parallel here? In Genesis 1:28, God says, "Go, be fruitful and fill the earth. Subdue it." In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus says, "Be fruitful, fill the earth, and subdue it. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you, and Lord, I'm with you always." There's a parallel between those two texts. We, as children of God, need to be fruitful in our work for God. We've been given so much love, so much grace. We are to fill the earth with the love of God, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, making disciples wherever possible. John testifies of himself in John 1 and verse 18 that he has made him known. What was the goal of John? What was the goal of all the apostles? It was to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, to share the love of God with people who desperately needed to hear it. Here's the point of the Word becoming flesh. Jesus, who is with God, is in the heart of God and explains God to everyone. We can't go and show a picture of God to people, can we? Don't have one. I can't show people literally God, but I can show people God through what He's written. I can show people God by the way I live, by becoming the express image of God in how I behave and how I act, by allowing the Word of God to fill me up so much that people can see Jesus in me. If Jesus explains God to us, it is now our job as His new creatures to explain God in our own world right now. That's our mission. Your life is now filled with a mission to explain God the Father to the people in your life through His Son, who makes new people out of those who follow Him. Augustine famously prayed, "O God, that You have made us for Yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in You." Jesus is the true light, John tells us, and we are reflections of that light, or at least we should be. In our lives, are we reflecting the light of God in us? You go back to verse 5. The light came into the world. It came into the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. Yet Jesus continued to shine. Our job is not to convert people. It's to shine the light of Jesus. I can't make anyone follow Christ, but I can give them every reason to do so. I can show them how Jesus can change a life. I can share with them the Word of God. I can share with them the gospel. And I can talk about how God's changed my life, how He's given me hope. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, after, you know, we read verse 16 and we read verse 17, how how Jesus was sent by God, how he came here to bring salvation to this world. There's a warning given in verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. Do we love the light? Do we really love the light? Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who love to live in darkness because they love to live to the pleasures of the flesh. And so they refuse to see. They refuse to see God. They refuse to see Jesus. Not because he's not there. Not because he hasn't done everything possible for them to bring them to a restoration of life. But because they refuse to do what God has commanded them. How long will God allow us to continue to refuse him? How long will he wait? How patient will he be? None of us know that, do we? Now, Paul tells Timothy and Peter tells us as well that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to newness of life. God's desire for you and your life is a restoration of a relationship with God. But God will not make us choose him. We have to make that decision. And so God waits. Why has Jesus not come back? We sang that song, you know, hallelujah, that Jesus is coming back, right? And I'm thankful that we have that promise that one day Jesus will come back and he'll take us home to be with God forever. And we'll not have to wait any longer. But it's been 2,000 years and yet he continues to wait. But how much longer will he wait? How much more time do we have? How much more time do we have not only to obey ourselves, but to teach that to others? Time is a fleeting thing, and it's very valuable because we only have a limited supply. And when that time runs out, that's all. And so we ask ourselves, have I done what God has called me to do? Have I been made into a new creation in Jesus Christ? And if I have I done all that I can do to share that with those around me? Because just as we have a limited amount of time, so do they. Have you been made a new creation in Christ Jesus? And are you doing everything in your power to share that love with others? Do you have a need to respond to the gospel call? Do you have a need to respond to this invitation? If we can help in any way, we ask you, we plead with you, please come as together we stand and as we sing.